Welcome back to Overdue. I'm Mrs. Watts, your Annex librarian.
And I'm Coach Hill, your main building librarian. In today's episode, we catch up on our reading.
On today's episode, we are talking about the books we read in honor of Native American Heritage Month. And so we've been working on these for what, a month?
A month.
And so my choice was An Indigenous People's History of the United States by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. And I've told Coach Hill this was a difficult read, not in terms of just heavy or hard emotional things. It's very technical, mm-hmm. almost. It's almost written like a textbook, just a slightly more narrative form. But it was difficult to get through. It had, I think on the flip side of that, it had such an eye-opening information about how the that group of people has been treated over mm-hmm. the course of the United of America's history and even before that. And definitely enlightening, but I've got to be honest, I'm glad to get to the end of it just because of it being so hard to follow and stick with
yeah.
from an ease of reading standpoint.
Sure.
So, but such good eye-opening information. I had no idea that that group of people was treated so poorly and how they were viewed. Mm. That is just not what I was aware of.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. In a really like sad way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad someone, I mean, if you look at the index, the resources that he went to and the research that he did or that she did, I'm so glad someone put in that work
yeah.
to provide a narrative for this group mm-hmm. of people. It was incredible, but I'm excited for a change too. Tell me about your book.
Yeah. So similar to yours, or at least similar to the tragedy described in yours.
Yes.
You know, I read more of a first-person account of that.
Yes.
Mine was Apple, Skin to the Core by Eric Gansworth, which is a memoir mm-hmm. of this Native American man, Eric Gansworth. And like I said, it's a first-person account of his experience in what you're describing and also
right.
the stories told to him about and by his ancestors and what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric Gansworth, as you read the book, is... Because of his bloodlines, he's an outsider, both in the world at large, but also even within the community that he lives in.
Sure.
And that brings its own challenges with it, in addition to the ones that he experiences just by being a Native American in North America. In the beginning of the book, he describes some boarding schools that his ancestors attended. I think I might have mentioned them briefly in the last episode. One was called Pratt, and then there was another one mentioned in the book, and the name is escaping me at the moment. Hampton is coming to mind, but that could be wrong. But essentially, white people would go into Native American communities and convince parents to send their children to these boarding schools. And what really they were doing here, according to the book, is stripping the Native American people of their culture
mm-hmm.
And then sending them back.
Mm-hmm.
And that theme kind of runs throughout the entirety of the book. And there's some other things that go on. There's a series of poems that are modeled after Beatles songs because Eric Gansworth was really into the Beatles, you know,
yeah.
as a young man. It was a heavy book. It was a hard book, not for the same reasons as yours. The language was not technical at all. It's a book of poems.
Right.
But the themes and history and things that you're reading about are hard to swallow
mm-hmm.
just as from a reader's perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
I learned a lot similar to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that I read this book.
Yes.
And I'm happy that he told the story.
Yes.
With his words.
Same. Yes, so. Absolutely. I mean, as I've said, it was difficult, but I'm so glad someone did that. You know, it's such a valuable information.
I'm glad we have it in the library also.
Yes, frankly. Absolutely. Absolutely. So our other book that we were working on, that I think we both got through pretty quickly, were graphic novels.
Yeah, because isn't it like Picture Book Month or something?
Yes, it is. Picture Book. Yes, it was Picture Book Month. And so our picture books are graphic novels in the high school library. And so I chose Be More Chill by Ned Vizzini. And this is actually adapted from a Broadway play. And so I don't know anything about the stories that it was built upon or that Broadway play that it was built upon, but the book was interesting. I still don't get some of it. So it's about this high school student who is kind of an outsider. He has one close friend, but doesn't have a high viewing from anyone else in his classes or in his school. And so someone comes up to him one day and offers him this drug that will change everything about him and make him cool and make him, but it's like a tech drug, like a digital. It's really strange and interesting. And so basically this drug becomes like a mini computer inside his brain telling him how to act and what to do. But there are consequences to that. And it's just this kind of struggle between him choosing to stick with that and the new life that he has versus realizing that his life without it was great. And so it's just choices, it's identity, it's a little confusing, mm-hmm. but really good. And I think something our students would identify with, as far as just making choices on whether to be yourself or go a different route.
Cool. So,
yeah, it was interesting. Tell me about yours. What were you reading?
I read The Contradictions by Sophie Yanow. I don't know how to say it. At first, this book came from the vendor labeled as a graphic novel, obviously, but as fiction, so that's where I had it. And after reading it, I'm like 99% positive that it's not fiction. It's a memoir. It's an autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about Sophie, and it's about her time in college when she decides to study abroad. And when she gets there, she kind of has no real direction. And then she kind of meets this friend who's an anarchist and a vegan and, you know, all into activism and things like that. And she like stereotypically like doesn't give a, you know what, about much else. And they decide to hitchhike through Europe, and you kind of get the idea as you're reading that Sophie is very much a follower here. Like it's, I guess mm-hmm. you could call it coming of age, right? Like finding herself.
Sure.
And like kind of getting into things because her friend is into these things. So they hitchhike through Europe. But as you realize that she's kind of just following along and trying to be this person, you also kind of realize that maybe she's not that person.
Wow.
And then when you get to the end of the book, those suspicions are confirmed. And I won't say how or why, but those suspicions are confirmed. I will be honest, this book, I had a hard time relating to it or understanding what the point of it was. And that doesn't mean that it's a bad book. It just means that I, as the reader, didn't connect with it much. But someone else very much could mm-hmm. do that. The art was cool. The art was very much like newspaper, comic strippy, just very simple. Not, that doesn't mean bad, but just simple, probably just pencil drawings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with no shading or anything, just outlines, and it made the story very easy to follow. But again, I had a hard time as the reader just understanding the point of the book. Part of that could have been I was under the assumption that it was fiction,
and
it
wasn't. That's true.
I mean, you know what I mean? It very much could have been that.
Yeah.
But like I said, The Contradictions by Sophie Yanow, definitely not fiction.
Right.
Very much a story of a college age girl trying to find herself, very much coming of age.
I haven't read that book, but even just listening to you talk about that and the one that I read, it's just, it is so interesting. This theme of like a tug of war between craving community and belonging with others and also craving like to stick to whatever is like the core of who you are and trying to decide how you're going to balance that. I feel like that, it sounds like that's prominent in both of our
nice observation
books. I mean, and maybe that's the contradiction. I don't know.
Maybe.
Makes me kind of want to read it. I know that wasn't like your best review of a book, like as far as what you loved, but I kind of want to read it.
So you can read it. I mean, it's super quick.
Yeah.
Like you just sit down and you read it and you're done. So
I may have to snag that from you just because I'm curious.
Yes, I'd be curious for you to read it and see how you feel about it.
Okay.
Especially after I've kind of set the stage in a somewhat negative way.
I wouldn't say that, but I am curious and we'll probably pick it up.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a short break. And on that break, we are going to listen to a book talk by Mrs. Denton.
It's going to be great.
Hi, it's Miss Denton. I teach English 1 at White House, and I recently finished Cecily Strong's memoir, This Will All Be Over Soon. It's a book about her personal losses, especially focusing on how hard it was to adjust to being quarantined during most of 2020 and into 2021. And she shares some personal stories about her life and about her family, and I'd like to read you an excerpt from one. One day, my brother Nat and my dad had a really bad fight. This was not out of the ordinary in my house. My brother had ADHD, ADD, depression, dyslexia, learning disabilities, Asperger's. He was very overweight. All those disorders that just get you labeled as a bad kid, especially in the 90s. My dad and Nat would have loud screaming matches, and my mom would hold me in her room because they scared me. After this particularly bad fight, my brother went missing for hours. We searched the streets around the house, yelling for him and called neighbors. We almost called the police. He came back around dusk, just walked through the door. Turns out he was sitting under the porch all along, hiding behind the morning glory. My brother and I would fight too, physically sometimes. I bit him hard once in the armpit. That was the only time I ever got a hit in. He was bigger and stronger, so most of our fights, he was chasing me around the table where I could fend him off for a while. I wasn't ever really scared, though. I loved my brother dearly. I knew he loved me. One night, he had taken a little axe from wherever we kept an axe for some reason and was going at the lock my parents had started using on the fridge doors to keep Nat from overeating. I sat at the kitchen table right next to him, silently watching him. My mom yelled for me to come upstairs, but I didn't this time. My brother turned to me and said, "I wouldn't ever hurt you." And I said, "I know." My brother was the sweetest and funniest person I knew, still is. He's a really good guy with a big heart that he didn't get to share with many people for a long time. As you can imagine, school was not a very kind place for my brother. I don't quite know the extent to which he was bullied, but I remember hearing some on the playground. For being fat, for not being able to read as well as other kids. Kids would make jokes to me as if I'd find them funny. He was put in some special classes, which must have been very frustrating for a guy who was so intelligent and now works in IT. He started seeing a psychiatrist at one point. Sometimes I'd go along for family sessions. I remember the building had huge, ornate metal doors and a black and white checkered floor. Later on, I would start seeing the same psychiatrist. She prescribed him Ritalin for his ADD. The pills worked until the day he yelled upstairs, "Mom, I think I have to go to the hospital. I swallowed my whole bottle of pills." We spent hours in the Oak Park Hospital that night. They made my brother throw up to get rid of the pills in his stomach. I saw him sitting up on his hospital bed in the ER, exhausted and crying. I spent the night at the house of my mom's best friend. Later, we found a note he'd written. I only remember that he wanted to leave all of his money to Planned Parenthood. He was admitted to the children's psych ward at Rush Hospital in Chicago for a week. I can't quite remember what it looked like there. I can vaguely remember seeing children's drawings taped onto the white walls. It smelled like disinfectant. He had art classes and daily therapy. We had a couple family sessions. Being the youngest and seemingly okay, I wasn't always involved in those sessions. After the week, my brother came home. He went back to school. My parents spent a few weeks still seeing his counselor, but on their own. And after one of those sessions, I sat on the couch by the back door, waiting and watching for them from the window as I normally did when they were out. I saw my mom walk out of the garage first, quickly, with her head down. My dad followed slowly behind her, his head down as well. They asked to talk to my brother and me, and so we gathered in the room. Nat and I on my bed, them standing in front of us on the pink carpet. And then my parents said they were getting separated. My dad would be moving out.
Now that we've finished some reading and talked about them, it's time to pick new books.
It is.
So I think we alluded to this maybe on the last episode.
We did. Yes, we did.
That we were both going to be reading books by Anthony Doerr.
We had thought about it, but now it's like
it's official.
It's a commitment.
Now it's official. I've actually read the book you're reading.
Yes. All the Light We Cannot See.
Yes, and I'm a big fan. And I am reading his newest one that you purchased called Cloud Cuckoo Land. And I have started reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a decent way through it already because I...
And you got it, what, 2 days ago? 3 days ago?
Not too long ago.
Yeah.
It's just it's a good book. So just to give a little bit of insight, not to the story, we'll save that for when we talk about them. But this book is very much written like your book, like All the Light We Cannot See.
Which I haven't started yet.
Right. Where you're getting these storylines from multiple different characters throughout, where they're almost written as chapters. And then, at least in All the Light We Cannot See, everything kind of converges at the end. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see whether or not that happens or how that happens in this one, or if, I guess, because you have this labeled as historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this story is very much historical fiction. Another part of this story is very much present day realistic fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And another part of this story is very much futuristic science fiction.
Wow.
And it's interesting.
Okay.
And I think just...
So we might have a recatalog coming.
Well, I don't know. Book. No. Or make a new one. As far along as I am into it, I can understand so far, I think, what's tying these together. And it's kind of within the title of the book. But I have absolutely no idea. There's a couple characters with where I'm at right now whose paths are about to converge. But then there's a whole separate storyline that...
Mm-hmm. You don't know
again,
how it's
going to come together. I think I know what the tie is going to be. I will say this, though, that, you know, All the Light We Cannot See is World War II. Like, that's the time frame, right? It's historical fiction. And again, a very large part of this book is also that. But I'm really enjoying it.
I'm glad.
That
makes me so excited. Really, I get the same feeling hearing that from you as I do when we hear it from students. Like, that book was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, what else do you have? That's so satisfying.
Yeah. I enjoy reading.
Yes.
And especially lately, especially since we've become librarians, I've enjoyed broadening the types of books that I read. But it's not super often that you grab a book that you just absolutely, absolutely cannot stop.
Right.
Probably the last one for me was Where the Crawdads Sing.
Mm-hmm.
And probably before that was Elantris.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is... This is a good one. I was the same way with yours, but I read that a long time ago.
Yeah, I haven't. So our students actually, and I think we've talked about this before, our students read this with one of our classes. And so it'll be a good conversation piece there too. A couple of our teachers really love it, yourself included. And so I'm excited to, I don't know how I missed that in high school. You know, I went to school here, but I didn't read this.
Is it that old? I guess you're younger than me.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's recently added.
I mean, I know it's not brand new.
This was written in, sorry if you can hear the page, 2014. Yeah, so no, it was not written when I was in school. That would be why I haven't read it.
You're younger than me, but you're not that much younger
than me.
This
is true. This is true. No, I'm looking forward to it. And then the conversation that we get to have after reading both of those books. So it's exciting. But now it's time for us to check out. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at BDP_library. Check out our YouTube channel, BDP Library, for book talks and vlogs, and share us with a friend.
Check back with us every other Wednesday for the next episode of Overdue. Make time to read.